This is Food Secure Nation with Dr. Phil Knight and Jerry Brisson. Sponsored by Know Better, Do Better, KBDB. Engaging change makers, charting solutions, and driving progress for food security in America. Dr. Phil Knight.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for listening. Food insecurity remains one of the most stubborn challenges we face in America. And that's not because people don't care. And it's not because we don't have food. And it's not because we don't have committed organizations. And it's not because we don't have generous donors, dedicated volunteers, and even public servants working every day to help families get through the month. And yet, food insecurity persists. One reason is this. Food insecurity doesn't live in just one place. It shows up differently depending on where you stand. For some communities, it's about access. For others, it's about stability, affordability, nutrition, dignity, or whether today's solution will be there tomorrow. What we've learned over time is that when we focus on one part of the problem, we may make progress, but we rarely make it last. Because food insecurity isn't one problem. It's what happens when parts of the system don't align. That's why at Food Secure Nation, we frame food security using what is called the six dimensions of food security. Not to tell people what to think, but to help us all think better. The six dimensions give us a way to step back and see the whole picture, to understand how different pieces interact, where strengths exist, and where gaps quietly undermine good work. Most of us are smart in one or two of these dimensions. Very few are strong in all six. And that's not a flaw, it's just reality. The challenge comes when we mistake our lane for the whole road. Communities don't become food secure because one organization does everything well. They become food secure when all six dimensions are addressed by people and partners who understand how their work connects to everyone else's. That doesn't mean everyone has to do everything. It means no one can do only one thing and expect system-level change. So here's the premise we want to start with today. Food security requires us to look beyond our own lane and understand how the whole system works together. That's next on this edition of Food Secure Nation. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for being with us. Jerry Brisson of Know Better, Do Better, right here with me, as always. Jerry, great to see you.
Great to see you too, Doctor. It is always a pleasure. And we've got some exciting stuff to talk about today. Some you know, as we're looking at how do you get to the next threshold of food security in America? So let's just put that big goal out there, right?
Sure.
We're not talking about ending hunger at this point. We're just talking about the next threshold. And part of the reason is what you described in the monologue as all the interconnecting parts, right? So there's got to be a little bit of straightening out the spaghetti strands and connecting them in clear ways so that this, you know, this six dimensions and how it intersects with people's lives can be a little bit clearer so that we can start to say, okay, now when we start to apply solutions, those solutions can be more effective because we've considered everything that needs to be considered. So all that's pointing toward what? The next threshold of food security in America.
Right. Okay. So we know where we're going. And somebody might right off the bat say, well, wait, why is there only six dimensions of food security? Well, we're not saying there's not more. We're just saying these are the six that we can grasp.
The United Nations, who grapples with this issue across, you know, every country in the world, wanted to have a way to talk about this no matter where you were anywhere. And decided after years of looking at it that there's really six. That these are the six things that are the things you have to talk about and work on if you want food security anywhere. So that's how we picked it.
It started as four, actually.
That's right.
And to our producer, Mark's commentary, they added two more. There might be two more, but we're going to deal with the six.
And I think they're. I think it's a good model to where. Well, let me put it this way back to you. So as I've worked with people on this for a long time, one of the most important things, if you want people to work with you, is that their point of view has a lane in your solution.
Right.
If you're trying to get something done and they don't see themselves in it, they're out.
Sure.
So the six dimensions is big enough so that everyone doing work on this has a place in it. There's that's really important, because if you want cooperation and you want progress, which again is one of our key values, is progress, you won't have progress if people see themselves as an outsider. Right? You'll just have more and more silos and more people feeling like they haven't been considered or their thoughts haven't been considered. So you have to have room in the model for all of the work that's being done in it. And I do think that these six dimensions, it's availability, access, utilization, stability, agency, and sustainability. I know that's a whole lot to try to remember. So don't try to remember. We're going to go through this over and over again, because in all of those dimensions, you can find all of the work that's being done. Now, does that mean there isn't something else we should talk about? Yeah, and we are. We're going to have guests talking about all kinds of things. I mean, when you talk about, for example, food waste, you can say, well, food waste affects these six things, but it also has a, in and of itself, there's a whole lot to talk about. Whether you point it back to those six dimensions of food security or not, there's still a lot of important things to learn. So
there's a lot of peripheral issues that influence the six dimensions. But for our purposes today, we're going to concentrate on the six dimensions and why we need to address all of those six. We need to be working in all of those six collaboratively, so that we make progress toward the next threshold of food security for the nation.
Yeah, and the more I look at it, the more I say it's this dynamic. When you're trying to solve food insecurity, you need to consider solutions in each one of these dimensions, because there are things to be done in each of the dimensions. But you also, when you consider solutions, need to consider each dimension when you're looking at that solution. So from both lenses, right? From the lenses of each. So if you want to make food available, that's an important dimension. That's good. You need solutions in availability. But if you want a solution that makes food available and you're working on that solution, you better consider access, utilization, stability, agency, and sustainability as also important parts of your solution. So if you think you're going to build grocery stores as a way to make food more available or to create greater access, but wherever you're putting that store isn't affordable to the people who live in that community, your solution isn't going to be broad enough. It's not going to address the issues of that community, and it probably won't bring any food security into that community because you didn't think about all of the dimensions of food security when you applied your solution.
Got it. So we have to think more integratively.
Yes.
We have to think better before and beyond ourselves and what we've done in the past. And I think this is important. You know, I've worked, been a part of teams, both in the business world and nonprofit and, you know, athletic teams, bands, the whole thing. Anybody can be a part of a team. You know, but it gets a little out of balance. Let's just talk about a band for a second, like a marching band. Your kids were in marching band. When the tuba players think they're the most important part of the band,
the flutes get really ticked off.
Exactly. So it's not that everybody's part isn't important. It's just you have to understand that you can't just have a band made up of tuba players.
I totally love that analogy. I love it because it is true. It is a marching band. And the way you just described it makes it so easy to understand. The tubas are important, the flutes are important, the saxophones are important, the drum line is important. But if you're trying to do a band and all you're doing is training tuba players, your band isn't going to sound too good.
Right. Well, and it's the same thing as a part of a team. You know, you can have a great quarterback for football, but if you don't have an offensive line that is, you know, solid, instead it's porous like a sieve, it doesn't matter how great that quarterback is. He's not going to have any time to do anything.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right.
So the quarterback might get a lot of the glory. He might get a lot of the media interviews, endorsements, money, whatever. But he cannot be great without the people in front of him.
Because we all depend on things that are beyond what we personally can and even want to do. And that's why there's six dimensions. And that's why they have to be considered. I think those are great examples of how you need these multiple dimensions. But that doesn't mean any one of them isn't important. And sometimes the most important.
Right.
Right. If you have all the other pieces on your football team and you don't have a good quarterback, your team is not going to be as successful.
You got a great band and no tuba players. I mean, really, why are you even out there?
Well, I hope my son Jim is listening right now. I really do. He was a tuba player and a good one. And my son Nate was a good tuba player, too. So I got two sons that played tuba. I think you knew that. I mean, maybe not, but.
So, Jerry, six dimensions of food security. I want you to, you said them pretty fast a minute ago. I want you to say them again as we close out this first segment.
Yeah, so the first part of it is availability. Can you even get food? Is it there, right? The next one is access. Access is if the food is there, do you have a way to get to it or to make it available to you because you can purchase it, for example? The third one is utilization, and that really has to do with, is it the food that's best for you? That might be cultural, that might be health-related, mm-hmm. but bottom line is the food available and that you have access to the best food for you? Stability, then, is it there when you need it? Agency is this something you can, I'll put it this way. It has to do with both your capacity and control, right?
Okay.
And so, do you have the facility personally to do the things you need to do within this framework? It's the hardest one to explain, and I'll do a better job over time.
Right.
And then sustainability is, will it be here forever? So if stability is, will it be here when I need it? Sustainability is, will it be here forever? So that's kind of each dimension. And again, I will get better and better, I promise.
That was great. You're putting the cookies on the right shelf for me. I appreciate it, and I'm sure everyone else does too. But here's the exciting part. We're going to have subject matter experts on every one of these dimensions join us here on the show in the next coming weeks. And starting with Claire
Babineau-Fontenot, the CEO of Feeding America, who is going to talk about agency, and she'll do a way better job than I just did.
Yeah, well, that's why we're going to have subject matter experts with us. He's Jerry Brisson. I'm Dr. Phil Knight. We're back with you in just a moment.
You're listening to Food Secure Nation with Dr. Phil Knight and Jerry Brisson, sponsored by Know Better, Do Better.
Welcome back. Thanks for being with us. I am super excited about this segment because we're going to talk about how the six dimensions of food security interact with one another. So why, first of all, before you deliver this wisdom, and I'm sitting at your knee here in the studio, why isn't it enough to be strong in just one or two dimensions in order to move the needle or change or get to the next level, the next threshold of food security?
And the simple answer is because no dimension accomplishes enough by itself. That life doesn't happen that simply. You know, so if you take availability, which ultimately the only cure for hunger is food. There is no other cure. You can't eat money. You can't eat, you know, a safe place to stay, right? The only way you can cure hunger is to have something to eat, right? So you would
think... Now, how you get that is another whole...
That's exactly where we're headed. It's almost like you're reading my mind.
Wow.
I think you should be very careful.
It's dark. It is a little dark and gloomy here, but go ahead.
So you say, well, why can't you just make food available then? If it's really the only way you can cure hunger is to give somebody something to eat, then why don't we just make food available? And the reason why is because there's no way to just put food out for everybody in like big, you know, bins that people can just walk up to and take whatever they want in any efficient or affordable way. It just can't be done by itself in a vacuum. If it could, we probably would have done it a long time ago.
Sure.
Right? And there are places where people will put food out and anyone can come take it that wants it. But you have all kinds of things like food expires and you need refrigeration and you need all these other things for whatever food program you're going to have. So the bottom line is availability is important. It's probably, if you don't have food available, none of the other solutions matter.
Right.
But... by itself, it's not a big enough system to accomplish what you want, which is to make sure everybody has what they need when they need it in a way that's appropriate for them.
Right.
Right.
Beautifully said, by the way.
So thank you.
Yeah.
So then you have to start looking at, well, what is the best ways to make that available food accessible?
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the business community has figured out the biggest best way, and that's grocery stores. But even if you look at the history of grocery stores, even for the last 80 years, you find massive changes that have happened within that one channel of making food accessible. So you've got it available. Now you're making it accessible. And if you look at different parts of the community in different places, in rural communities, in very low income communities, in very high income communities, and all those different places, you'll find that grocery stores do a really good job most places most of the time, but not all places all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So now the food, there's enough food, you can make it available. Access says, how do we make that food available specifically? And you start to break that down because it's different things in different situations that are going to work to make access to food happen. And another example, you can say, well, we're not going to put grocery stores on every block. They might be a few miles apart. Well, if you're disabled and there's no transportation for you to get to the store, then again, you do not have access to that food, even though it's available and someone has worked at making access a reality.
Mm-hmm.
So there are other barriers to access besides just having a store nearby. It has to be a store you can reach. It has to be a store you can afford. It has to be a store that has the food in it that's appropriate for you. Because again, we have different cultural expectations in terms of the food we eat. We have different things that we like and don't like. We also have to manage our health concerns. All of those are things that have something to do with the food that's available, whether we have access to it. Now we're moving into utilization. Because we have to make that food work for our life. So if it's too hard to fix for our kids and we only have a half hour to make dinner, we're not going to use that food very well, right? And that food has to fit the life that we actually have. It can't be outside of how we're going to use that food. If I have diabetes, there has to be food available that meets that health condition. If I have high blood pressure, which, again, these are very common health conditions, they're very expensive to manage. Utilization, then, is about the food that's available and that I have access to is the food I need for my life because of the dynamics of my life. That's the utilization part of it.
So I think my thought here is thank God for YouTube. Because
here's the because. I'm waiting for this one.
Because my issue in utilization of how am I going to use the food that I have access to that's available to me for the best outcome for my health would include a winter squash. And I'm ignorant about how even to cut the dang thing up. So thank God for YouTube. So education is the point of this, I think, within this area of utilization and how that education happens. If you have these medical conditions that you just described, yours is diabetes or hypertension or some other cardiac associated disease. Mine is just plain ignorance. I don't know how to cut it up. I don't know how to cook it. And if I only have 30 minutes to do that with, then education becomes pretty important.
Well, we'll have to do a show on the 12 dimensions of ignorance, but that's a...
Well, actually, I'm encouraged that there's only 12. So, anyway, I get what you're saying, but knowledge is a point here. Understanding why the foods that I have access to and how they impact my health, whether it be diabetes, hypertension, or whatever, is super important.
And I'm glad this came up in this way, because it brings us back to agency. If you don't know how to cook a squash, then even if it's available, you have access to it, and it's the best way to utilize the food for your situation, but you don't have the agency to use it, then that issue has to be addressed. How do you take control of the food that's available to you? And another part of agency really just has to do with choice, because you're making decisions about your life that nobody but you understands perfectly. And so if other people are creating solutions that doesn't account for what you can actually do and how you do it and what you need in your situation, taking your agency away means the solution won't work as well.
Agency, really, what I just heard you say is agency matters across all dimensions.
It has to, right? Because you're not building a solution for yourself. You're building it for everyone,
right,
who has issues of food insecurity and what they need to solve that for themselves.
And our principle here is we're trying to help people where they're at, not where we wish they were.
Well, yes. And if you want progress and you don't consider what people need to fit their life, you're going to spend a lot of money and not get progress.
Yeah, we have talked about this in our conversations over the years, that if people are not consuming the food that is made available to them, that they have access to, then food banks in America, for example, are running a pretty expensive waste program.
Well, that's the risk, right? That's the risk. And if you don't want that, and we'll give food banks a lot of credit for understanding this and addressing it in many, many instances very well. But if you don't want to have the most expensive garbage program in the country, and instead you want to provide food security to families, you got to run programs where the solutions work for people.
And that includes looking at all six dimensions of food security that we're discussing on this show here today.
And there's only two left, and they're the easiest.
Well, good. I'm going to let you hold those to the next segment. We're going to be back in just a moment. That's Jerry Brisson. I'm Dr. Phil Knight. Welcome back, everyone. That's Jerry Brisson. This is, I'm Dr. Phil Knight. This is Food Secure Nation, sponsored by Know Better, Do Better. Where can you find the company that sponsors this show?
Yeah, KBDB, Know Better, Do Better, KBDBHub.com is where we are. And our website is awesome. There's a lot of great information there, especially if you're interested in looking at these six dimensions. It is front and center on our website right now. And our podcasts are front and center as well. So, want to know more? KBDBHub.com. That's Know Better, Do Better. Here's an easy one for you. FoodSecureNation.com will get you to the same place. FoodSecureNation.com. That's the name of our show, and it'll get you to the same place.
Wow, you put the cookies on the right shelf there for me. FoodSecureNation.com. All right, we're talking about the six dimensions of food security that United Nations created, originally just four, added two later. And we're using this as a framework to talk about how do we help the nation, the United States of America, move to the next threshold of food security. And to do that, you got to really have a pretty good understanding about what all six of these mean, even if you're not an expert in all six.
That's right. Even becoming familiar with all six moves forward, right? It moves progress. Because if you're not familiar at all, then how can you consider them in your solution building, right? And we are here for change makers. We are here for people that want to do good solution building. So if you know better, you can do better. Bada boom, bada bing. You think it was on purpose.
That's it. All right. All right. So you've covered four in the last segment. There's two other segments or two other dimensions of food security that you're going to introduce at the beginning right now.
Yeah. And so the next one is stability. And stability, very simply, is when I need it, is it there? So if it's something that's coming and going, and you see this a lot in nonprofit programming because they get money for a while, then the money goes away, then the program isn't there anymore. Then they get money again, and the program is there again, and then it goes away again. So stability is, will it be there when I need it? That's really what it is, simply put.
Right, right.
Then sustainability is, will it be there forever? Right? So if you're building a system, it's almost impossible to have a stable system if it's not sustainable. And that is the dynamic between those two things. You have to have a way to support that system today, tomorrow, and into as long as there's a problem to be solved. Otherwise, it will not be stable, right? So sustainability is, will it be there forever? Stability is, will it be there when I need it?
So I'm going to take a little exception with how sustainability has been defined. Because I think you said, will it be there forever? We're trying to, eventually, whether we live to see it or not, the goal here is for the problem to be so to go away, to be so diminished that it's that all of this isn't needed or necessary. So I'm going to say, is it there as long as it's needed?
I'm happy with that, and especially because the need is going to change.
Right.
So systems will have to change, and so therefore maybe there forever isn't quite the right way to say it. There as long as it's needed makes a lot more sense to me. So for a change, we'll just go with your description.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So here's what, listening to you talk about the six dimensions and break them down and how they interact with one another, I found very, very helpful. But here's what I noticed about it, is that so all six dimensions are there. They're in place, right? Where they're not and where they don't work together is where food insecurity lives.
In the gap.
Yes.
Exactly right. When maybe one thing is thought through and dealt with really well, but it didn't consider some or all of the other pieces that it takes to actually make available food accessible, properly used by a household, there when people need it, in a way that they can make best use of it, which again is agency, and it's there as long as the problem exists.
So, Jerry, I'm going to compliment me.
Wait a minute. Okay,
and say that I'm a semi-intelligent person, especially when I'm wearing my glasses. that I can get a hold of a couple of these, and I might even go through the four levels of knowledge, where I'm more than familiar, I'm more than conversant, I might even be an expert. Highest level of knowledge here, in one or two of these areas. But I'm not in the other four. So what am I faced with there? Lanes? Partners? How do these things get applied? In my career, what I tried to do was hire the smartest people I could possibly find who were yet dumb enough to come and work with me.
And you are an expert at that, I will say.
I am at that. So, and then if I couldn't get them to come work with me and they were at another agency that could work in one of these six lanes, I wanted to build a partnership and a relationship with them. So how do we do this work? How do this, what does this mean for the community?
Yeah, so one of the most important things it means is a recognition that silos don't work for solving big system problems, right? You and people are busy. And of course, you know, having run a big organization and you run a very important, complicated organization, you run out of time, right? You only have time, so many hours in a day. And even if you stretch that day to 18 hours a day and get a few hours of sleep and eat a little, you still don't have enough time, right? And so what usually happens then is the more complicated the problem is, and the less time you have, the more you focus on what you're good at, as opposed to all of the things that need to be done. Because you're going to be not only personally rewarded by doing the things you're good at, but you're also going to be better at getting them done. And that's going to provide more dynamic relief than any other thing you can do if you don't have time to actually bring in the other people that need to be part of the conversation. And I think that dynamic happens a lot. And so why we're trying to use this framework and repeat it over and over is to really serve change makers out there who have very little time, who are working really hard, who need access to this information, maybe don't know where they can get it, and we're giving them a place to find it. Here on this show, Food Secure Nation, on our website, which you can get to by just going to foodsecurenation.com, and through dialogue and conversations that will be coming soon. We're developing those tools now so that people can dynamically engage each other quickly, have things summarized well, and actually start to use this six-dimensional framework to problem solve rather than whatever they have time to do.
That's good. That's good. That's well said, because I think staying in my lane where I feel like I have competency is important.
Yeah.
But pretending that my lane is enough is dangerous.
Well, it's not going to get us to the next threshold. So if the goal is, how do we get to the next threshold of food security, then staying in our lanes won't do it.
Right. And I think recently we had Scott Pigott on, who has led a you know, massive agricultural organization, is a farmer himself, and he stayed in his lane because he talked about stability within availability for producers and farmers and how the USDA programs affect when they're inconsistent. All of that. He stayed there. You know what he didn't do? Was talk about the other five dimensions that he stayed in his lane.
Though I bet he could. He's such a smart guy.
Well, but he was at least disciplined. And he stayed on topic with that, right? Now, we know lots of smart people doing lots of work across the nation here. And there are people that can add value in many different areas of this dimension.
Yep.
But understanding that what I do and do well is simply not enough. And I shouldn't be disappointed that I'm not moving the threshold or the needle on food insecurity, even though I'm doing great work in this dimension.
In fact, I would say this. Most of the people I know in this work do understand that, and they're very aware of their limitations. What they're frustrated by is how to get over it, how to get beyond it. Where can I go to learn the next things that need to be learned, to do the next things that need to be done? How do I get the time to do it? How do I carve it out of my day? And of course, we have to grapple with that. That's agency, by the way.
Absolutely.
That's agency.
Yeah. So communities become food secure when everyone understands how their work fits together within the framework of the six dimensions of food security. Jerry and I are back. You come back and be with us.
Food Secure Nation is sponsored by Know Better, Do Better. Engaging change makers, charting solutions, and driving progress for food security in America. Once again, here are Dr. Phil Knight and Jerry Brisson.
Today we've been breaking down the six dimensions of food security. First given to us by the United Nations. And now, even in this show, we've rewritten to a higher level, I think.
Or a lower level. I'm not really sure which direction it went, but a level where hopefully we can understand it better. If we can understand it, Doctor, it must be at least at a level the average person can understand it.
So, Jerry, what are you, six dimensions, what are your final thoughts here?
So, I'm so eager to get to the guests that are coming up on the next few shows. You know, we have Claire Babineau-Fontenot, who is the CEO of Feeding America, coming on. She is a specialist in so much of this work, but agency has been one of her biggest priorities, making the people served at the center of every decision, because solutions that don't consider them don't work. She is one of the best spokespeople ever, in my experience of this work, on this topic. She's going to be, February 1st, she's going to be on, and we're eager to have her.
I'm going to do my best to get her to tell a story about how that some of that happened with her. Because Feeding America is a national organization made up of some 250 food banks, plus partner state associations and other members as well. And historically, the CEO has always worked for the members of the nationwide association. And Claire has a story about how that changed.
And she is phenomenal. Anyway, stay tuned is what I'm saying, because these dimensions are going to take on a whole new life if we have some of these guests coming on.
Well, Stacy Dean, former undersecretary at the USDA, now head of the Global Food Institute, which is sponsored by Chef Jose Andreas. Stacy Dean will be with us to talk about some of the six dimensions of food security. Excited to have Stacy on. And then Dr. Dawn Opel from the Food Bank Council of Michigan, who is a national expert on food as medicine and in lieu of service projects. And that's really going to talk to us about utilization.
Yeah, very, very exciting, fun, interesting, hardworking. I can just keep going.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Well, Jerry, it's time for a little food for thought. Most of us are really good at one or two parts of the food security puzzle. And that's not a weakness. That's actually how progress happens. The problems come when we forget that our lane isn't the whole road. You don't have to do everything to help create a food secure community. Let me say that again. You don't have to do everything to help create a food secure community. But everything does have to get done. Food insecurity doesn't persist because people aren't working hard. It persists when strong efforts operate in isolation, and the spaces between them are left unattended. That's why the six dimensions of food security matter. They don't tell us what to do. They help us see how the system works or doesn't. They help us understand where we're strong and where others are strong, and where families sometimes fall through the gap. So here's something to carry with you this week. Which dimension am I strongest in? And who do I need to come along beside me to be better in the others? Because communities don't become food secure when one organization does everything. They become food secure when people understand how their work fits together. And that, my friends, is how we build a food secure nation.